beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Thank you.
we'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We have this morning our missionary who just returned from Zimbabwe, Brother Paul Lockman. Paul, tell us about your trip to Zimbabwe, brother.
I want to thank the brothers and sisters here for the prayers and also for their faithfulness. Because of that faithfulness, we were able to purchase Bibles for the local congregations in this the region there, and also help out some of the preachers there. We had a very good meeting there. We had a three-day tent meeting, a provincial Mashonaland tent meeting, where we spoke several topics, preeminence of Christ, role of men in the church, and also Christ and his church. There were many native speakers there. All of them gave excellent lessons. It was very well attended, had several baptisms. And I want to thank you again for your prayers and your support.
Amen. Now, Brother Paul is going to come and show us some pictures of his missionary journey. And that's a wonderful thing as we go forward to all the world this morning. And we want to talk a second about our radio ministry that's going out. Today we're being broadcast to all of North Texas on 1630 AM radio, and of course we're on in Abilene, we're on in all of Oklahoma. We lost the station in Searcy, Arkansas. They sold, but we're on a 50,000 watt blaster out of Nashville, Tennessee, that covers all of Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and southern Kentucky, some of Georgia also. We have one person that has taken it upon themselves to pay for the Radio Africa Network, which is three stations that broadcast to all 21 Africa stations in Africa. And of course, Radio Madagascar broadcasts four, gets Southern Africa, and all of South America broadcasts five, gets Northern Africa and Europe. And most of Europe broadcasts six, gets all of Russia, China, India, all of the Malaysia, Indonesia, and those islands, and of course, Australia. Broadcast seven gets North America, broadcast eight gets South America, broadcast nine goes over the North Pole and gets all of Russia, China, India, and the Pacific. And a person, as I told you last week, contacted me from Tupelo, Mississippi, where that broadcast continued to bounce around the world and came back after going under the earth, came back and he picked it up in Tupelo, Mississippi, and got in touch with me and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And we sent him a package of stuff. And then broadcast 10 and 11 goes over the North Pole again and gets China. Two broadcasts, one at 4 p.m., one at 9 p.m. Broadcast 12 goes out of Miami and gets all of Europe, Africa, the Middle East, all of India, Pakistan. Broadcast 13 covers North, South America, all of Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and India, Russia, and part of China, and through there. I got a letter this week from Pan American Broadcasting. The general manager said, "I am so excited and grateful that Pan Am Broadcasting is providing the following through WRMI. This is with our program, with your program blanketing Europe, Russia, the Middle East from this station. And then in Paris, we're picked up at 2 p.m. in Paris, 5 p.m. in Moscow, 3 p.m. in Turkey, 5 p.m. in Pakistan, which reflects a time change in the spring. The second outreach is an incredible discount in the cost, plus a bonus broadcast in Asia." Now, the discount in the cost is by buying Europe, we get North and South America free. And then by buying China, the second outreach, which is an incredible discount in cost, plus a bonus broadcast into Asia. So we get two for the price of one. I've also entered into negotiations with World Satellite Radio. We hope to be online with them very shortly. So the gospel is going out of this little congregation. We now have 14 international broadcasts. Who would ever think? Five national and 14 international broadcasts going out from here that covers the entire earth, the whole population of the earth, about five times. We're going to begin to study, and we're studying the Passion Week of Christ. And we've studied through Matthew chapter 24. When we got to Matthew chapter 25, we had the parable of the talents and the parable of the virgins, what I taught not long ago, so I'm going to skip those, and we're going to go right to what Jesus teaches about his second coming of Christ. We're going to have that lesson today. Then next week, we're going to be studying the Lord's Supper. Then we'll be studying the arrest, the trial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We'll be studying, basically following Matthew's gospel. Today, I know that you're confused by all these spellbinders on the radio and everything and on TV telling you, oh, the Antichrist is coming. Y'all all heard that. And there's going to be 7 years of great tribulation. And all of this, Israel, the temple's going to be rebuilt and all that stuff. There's one verse in the Bible that helps you get all of this stuff together where they can't ever confuse you again. And this verse is John chapter 6, verse 40, where Jesus says, "And I will raise him up," when? 7 years before the great tribulation. What does it say up there? "And I will raise him up," when? After the rapture, after the battle of Armageddon, "and I'll raise him up the last day." So when is the resurrection? It's the last day. So when you hear all these proof texts, they're telling you, oh, we got to build a temple, and then there's going to be the resurrection. The resurrection's the last day. Don't ever let them confuse you. There's going to be a rapture and then 7 years of great tribulation, and God's going to raise the dead with this rapture. Going to take all these people out. No, no, no. It's all going to happen at the last day. So now let's begin in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered together all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Sounds like Main Street Church of Christ, doesn't it? This church, in case you're listening somewhere in China or somewhere, is dedicated to feeding the poor, taking care of the poor, jail and prison ministry. We have a jail chaplain that's taught and baptized 18,000 since 1998. We're all volunteers. None of us get paid. We preach the gospel to the whole wide world, and we feed the poor about 150,000 meals a year. We're going to have a barbecue today. Anybody that doesn't like barbecue, they sell chicken down here on the corner, right down here on the corner. Anybody that doesn't like barbecue, y'all get on down there and get yourself some chicken. I'd like to invite our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, 1,000 links, thousands and thousands of lessons. If you'll notice in the bulletin, you can see that we have downloaded over 8 billion KBytes last year. Let me tell you something about KBytes for a minute. 50,000 KBytes make a sermon. If you divide 50,000 into 8 billion KBytes last year, you'll see that we downloaded 167,000 sermons last year just on the website. Who'd ever imagine? 167,000! And we're just getting started. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And those that look for him, it's important you be looking for him. For those that look for him, shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches that certain events needed to take place in the first century on before Christ comes again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except they come a great falling away first." There's going to be this great falling away from the purity of the New Testament faith. People are going to start worshiping God the way that they want to. They're going to have the church over here at Jackville, and they're going to have the church over here at Johnville, and they're going to have the church over here that this guy built, and they're going to all do things different. They're going to do things their own way. Even the false prophet Balaam in the Old Testament says that I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad in my own mind. There'd be a falling away first and a man of sin be revealed. Now let's stop a second and talk about this man of sin. They tell you, oh, this is Antichrist, Antichrist, Antichrist is coming. It takes as much authority to change a law as it does to enact a law. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. But our Baptist friends over here, they say, he that believeth and is saved should be baptized. Now, is that what that says? No, it's changed, didn't it? So then they're saying that they have just as much power, just as much authority as God through Jesus Christ to make rules. It's all about where do you get your authority? Where do you get your authority for doing the things that you do? Well, I just assumed the authority. Then you're acting like you're God. You're a man of sin. You're a man of lawlessness. You're doing things your own way. There was then, as there is today, a gradual change movement. That change movement was accompanied by corruption. It's the same thing going on today. See how many preachers you can find that drives 1995 Buicks. And a departure from the ancient faith. This departure becomes bold and challenging. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, speaking of that man of sin, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. It's not going to take tanks. It's not going to take armies. It's not going to take atomic bombs when Jesus comes back. With the word of his mouth and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, Isaiah says, in referring to this event in Isaiah 11. Shall he consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Where does this Antichrist come from? Even him whose coming is working after the power of Satan with all signs and lying wonders. These people, whoever they are, they're going to do all kinds of wonders or claim to do them. I'm telling you, they'll take you to Fatima and show you all kinds of visions and dreams. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, don't be worried so much about the Antichrist coming. He says, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now, in the first century, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. It's the last age. There's not going to be another age after this church age, after this age of grace, from the cross to the second coming, is the last age. There's not going to be no more age. There's not going to be no more revelation. There's not going to be any more intervention by God. He's not going to send any more prophets. Muhammad and all that stuff is all garbage. You forget all about that. You know, Muhammadism believes that they don't have any way to get rid of their sins, but they have a workaround. If they die a martyr, their sins don't matter. All those hijackers that crashed into the building, do you know that they all went to burlesque clubs? They all went to strip clubs the night before the crash? Do you know that? They all hired prostitutes during a week up to the crash. They had a workaround. They had a way to get around it. They were going to give their life for Allah, so it didn't matter how much they sinned. That's a false teacher. I'm telling you right now, it matters how much you sin. Even now, we know it's the last time. These people were claimed to be part of the church. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that they were not of us. People started out in the beginning,
The apostles started the church. The church was perfect. It was made just exactly like Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. The apostles were given all truth. They went out. They preached all truth. Everybody knew all truth. The church was right. And then from there, it just began to gradually fall away. And all these different denominations and all these different ideas and all these different rules, regulations, and heresies came in. Peter warned us this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, and even as they should be false teachers among you, who privily, now that word privily means right alongside. For every truth of God, there's a lie of the devil in the last 2,000 years. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is saved should be baptized. Comes right along beside. Take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Doesn't matter when you take the Lord's Supper. Take it whenever you want to take it. Do it once a month. If we take it every week, it'll become too common. We'll just do it once a month. We'll just do it once a quarter. We'll do it every Easter. Privily, right along beside the truth, the devil's going to bring in this other stuff. All men are equal. All men are brethren. All men are equal. And then they have bishops. They have popes. They have cardinals. They have all these big shots and all these big outfits and all this stuff. Let no man cover his head in church. And they all wear hats. Privily, right along beside the truth, they're going to come up with their own stuff. They shall be false teachers among you who shall privily bring in what kind of heresies? Damnable heresies. Now, it's not me that's saying this. I'm just reading right out of the book. Do some heresies damn? Yes. Do they all damn? I don't know. So I don't want to touch none of them. You're able to catch something touching them. Even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They talk bad about us, people do. They make fun of us. Real Christians, because of what these spellbinders do, you hear them on the radio all the time. Send in $10,000, you get to be a director. And if you send in $25,000, you get to be an overseer. And if you send in big gift, if you're a whale gift, you send in $50,000, then you get to be a bishop in the church and all this stuff. All this stuff's all for sale with them people. We don't have anything for sale here at Main Street. We don't have any money, but if any of you out there in radio land are tired of giving away your money to false teachers and to Professor Smart, who drives around in a brand new Cadillac, you could pay for a radio show that goes to all the world. You could get glory and stars in your crown in heaven. You can help get another broadcast to China. We could use another broadcast to China. Why don't you pick up that broadcast to China and do something? And through covenants shall they with fraying words make merchandise of you. Do you know that the largest Christian denomination on the face of the earth has a price for every sin? If you sin and commit adultery, then the price for that is a certain amount. And of course, if you murder, then the price for that's a bigger amount. And then, of course, if you fornicate, then the price for that's a certain amount. And then if you get drunk, the price for that's a certain amount. And we'll drink a little with you. And so they've got it all worked out. They got a price on it. They make merchandise out of you. But don't say that we hadn't been warned, whose judgment now in a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this verse, they shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts. This is a marked difference in attitude between those in chapter 2 and those in chapter 3. In chapter 2, the approach was one of stealth, that they were going to sneak in there privily and bring in something right on beside you. But in chapter 3, these guys here are bold. They just don't believe. And they'll tell you they don't believe. One of the main people in the change movement was a minister of a congregation here in Richardson, Texas. One of the main guys in the change movement. And one of his members approached him and asked him, just what is it in the Bible about miracles that you believe? And he scratched his head a while and he thought and he said, well, maybe the resurrection. Now, what's a guy like that doing preaching? He don't even believe his own self. He's illiterate, he's unlearned, he's uneducated, he is stupid. We have every reason in the world to believe prophecy proves beyond any doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It proves the death, burial, and resurrection. It was all written, it was all prophesied beforehand, and we have copies of it older than when Jesus was born. We live in an age of absolutely miracles in which we can prove the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if anybody will listen, and they got a brain in their head. What are these people going to say and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers, the apostles, the head of the Jews, fell asleep, they continued as they were from the beginning of creation. That's a bald-faced lie. Everything hasn't continued on since the beginning of creation. All of the earth used to be one continent. All of the earth used to be made up of dry land in one place called Pangaea. And there was a great flood, and it broke all of the earth apart. All things have not continued on. There has not been winter and summer and spring and fall. There has not been planting and reaping ever since the beginning of creation. The great flood interrupted that. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 13 to watch. Take heed and watch and pray. In Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 36, watch therefore and pray always. Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore. Christ is telling us to be on your toes in Mark 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore. Don't go to sleep. It's a switch. Don't get caught with your hands in a cookie jar. Keep an eye on the world around you and ask yourself, if could today be the day? Well, let me assure you, today could be the day. There's not one thing that has to happen before Christ comes again. Doesn't have to be no battle of Armageddon. That's the end of the world. Doesn't have to be no temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. Ain't going to happen. Matthew 24, 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Luke chapter 21, beginning verse 24, speaking of the Jew. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. We studied this last week, and be carried away captive to all nations. That happened to the Jews in 70 AD. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down or occupied by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's taken place. In 1967, the Jews got their city back. It's in the hand of Zionist non-believing Jews. Great minds in the Church of Christ before that event ever took place. J.W. McGarvey, B.W. Johnson, and Burton Kaufman, all great scholars in the Churches of Christ. From the 1800s, 1900s, Kaufman wrote in 1955, all of these people said that all of these things were a sign for us to keep watching. Keep watching. Don't be caught. Don't be caught unaware. So I'm telling you, don't be caught unaware. The Jews will continue to exist in the condition of hardness that they're in right now, not believing in Christ until Christ comes again. Matthew 24, 27 says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And Christ coming is going to be just that quick. It's just going to be that spectacular. It's going to happen in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. For where the carcass is, 24:28, there will the eagles be gathered together, extending the figure of speech to its ultimate fulfillment. When the world has become totally corrupt and morally dead, could it get any more corrupt than what it is now? Is there any possibility of the earth getting any more corrupt than what it is right now? Isn't it an awful thing that in the United States of America, you can sin all you want, it's not against the law, but on the evilest places on earth, where ISIS is in control, say Syria and Iraq, that if you get caught committing adultery, you get put to death. Get caught stealing, you get your hand chopped off. Isn't it awful that our enemies are really more moral than we are? You know what they do to homosexuals over there? They throw them off the top of building, big high building. You know what they do to uppity women? They put them in burqas and make them keep their mouths shut. Y'all really want this to happen, girls? You can't drive a car? You know, in London, England, they just elected the mayor of a London, England, is a Muslim. And you know what kind of Muslim he is? He's a radical Muslim. You know what he calls moderate Muslims? He calls them Uncle Toms. You girls better get your burqas ready. They're coming. Now, could we have done anything to make God mad at us in this country that he would send Muslims to get us? Just think of, can y'all think of anything at all that we could have done to make him mad? You know, I wondered back there when I heard the first time I heard years ago about the great sandstorms in the 1930s. And I wondered, what in the world, America was a wonderful place. What in the world could America have done to deserve that great drought and those sandstorms that was like 5-6 years they went on? And there was no crops. People had to leave Oklahoma and they fled everywhere. Kansas and everywhere they fled. Has anybody ever heard of the Roaring Twenties? Is there any chance of any linkage between the way that we live and what happens to us? I think there is. In Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even also those that pierced him." Well, for them to see him, there has to be a resurrection that day. So the second coming will be at the time of the resurrection. Matthew 24:31, "He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather his elect from the four winds of heaven." These words give strong grounds for referring this portion of Scripture to the final judgment. The parable of the tares and the parable of the fig nets mentions that angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The sound of the trumpet is also associated with the judgment in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, and 2 Thessalonians 1, 6, we're going to see in a minute. Resurrection of the dead is associated with the second coming of Christ. Let's drop down to Isaiah 26:19. "Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Daniel 12:2-3, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament." That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Be wise. "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Man, y'all have seen them pictures of through Halley's telescope of all of the universe and the stars. Man, it's wonderful out there. We're going to shine like the stars forever and ever. What place on earth is more into soul winning than Main Street Church of Christ? What place on earth has 14 international broadcasts going out to all the earth? I'm telling you again, you rich and famous out there, if you want to get involved, listen, you can broadcast the gospel to China for about $75 a week. You can broadcast the gospel to the whole wide world for about $175 a week. For peanuts, why don't other people do it? Well, they want the $175 a week for themselves, apparently. I can think of no other reason. Can you? They can build a gymnasium with it. That'd be a good idea. I can hear it now. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and build gymnasiums where everybody can play basketball." Did he say that? Anybody got that verse? I just can't find it anywhere. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the question that we have for you this morning. Do you believe in the resurrection? In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, where we started today, we're going to read some things. Now, this is not what you do to be saved. This is what the saved do. This is how you can tell whether a group of people are saved people or not. They'll be doing this kind of stuff. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him. Notice the angels accompany the coming of the Lord. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want you to notice that it was from the foundation of the world that this idea of the kingdom of God in the Church of Christ came into the mind of God. This is not evolution. This is a plan. Every bit of this is a plan. All through history, God has been working to one thing, to raise up this kingdom of God, this Church of Christ. Those of you that are new here, it's like you rode in here on a manure truck and you fell out and you've landed in a field of clover that flows with milk and honey. I'm telling you, you came to the only right place on earth. And among all those that are right, you came to the best one. It's got a barbecue lunch today after worship. And 14 international broadcasts, 5 national broadcasts that go out of here. And nobody gets paid. We're all going to get paid up there. Boy, won't that be something, Fred, huh? You'll get paid for all that van driving you've done. Come, ye blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came into thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So here we see that what we do to one another is just like what we do to Jesus. Jesus cares about people. He cares about every soul out there. You might be thinking, nobody loves me anymore. Nobody cares about me anymore. I'm homeless. I'm down and out. I've got nothing. I'm broke. I've got no friends. I've got no place to live. Nobody loves me. God loves you. Christ loves you. Christ died for you. And if you'll be a Christian, you'll reign with him as kings and priests forever. Can it get any better than that? Can you imagine the sound of those words to slaves in the first century? Man, to be a king, they worked for kings. They worked for rich people in rich people's houses that they just throwed the dog a bone and the slave just got what the dogs didn't eat. In John chapter 6, verse 40 is this great verse. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's important. The resurrection is the last day. John 5, 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and gives life, that's what quickened means, quickened them, even so, the Son gives life or raises up whom he will. The Father and the Son are the foundation of life and can restore life to the dead. John 5:22. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. So Christ has all authority and all power in heaven and earth. Because the Son speaks the words and does the works, he therefore is the manifestation of the Father. conditions of eternal life is to come to him in the appointed way. Not the way you want to come, but the way he tells you to come. John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Primarily, the reference there is to those that are spiritually dead. They'll hear the voice of Christ, and he'll give them eternal life. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The Son is the fountain of life and living waters. 5:27, has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. God has made him the judge of mankind, and because he took on himself human body, he's well suited for judgment. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. It's not a marvel that Christ is going to be able to raise forth everybody that's in their grave. John 5:29, and shall come forth they that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. So the real bottom line is 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, there's a workaround. There's a get-out-of-jail-free card. You don't have to crash into buildings. All you got to do is believe the gospel, confess Jesus Christ as Lord before men, put your faith and trust in God to save you, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and rise to walk newness of life. There's a workaround. Beats crashing into buildings. And besides that, it's right, it's true, it's just, it's wonderful, it's loving, it's kind, and it's not murderous. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable sermons, thousands of sermons on there, thousands of written lessons, thousands of links, all kinds of stuff. In Jude 14, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, Paul tells us, and then cometh the end. At the end of time, there's going to be some events take place, and that's what we're going to study real quick right now. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the church of Christ. At the end of time, Christ is going to deliver up the church of Christ to God. How is he going to do it? Well, he's going to explain to us now. Let's go down to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. In 1831, a guy named John Nelson Darby, came up with the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture. Nowhere else in history has it ever been heard of until 1831, when he came up with that. Now today, the Baptists teach it, the Pentecostals teach it, the Church of God teaches it, all of the different community churches, they all teach it. Where did they come up with this idea? Well, they came up with it from this guy in 1831. Well, can we put any reliance in this guy? Was he a prophet? He said Jesus is going to return in 1844. Was he a prophet? He was a false prophet, wasn't he? But they teach his teaching. Why do they do that? It's a mystery to me. I don't know. I'm going to teach Paul's teaching. Right here's Paul's teaching. 1 Corinthians 4:13. For I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, dead, that you saw not, even the others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so that those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When's this going to happen? At the last day. Christ is going to come back. He's going to bring the disembodied souls with him. With this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word prevent means go first. Shall not go first before them that are dead, that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When's that going to happen? 7 years prior to the great tribulation? When does the dead in Christ rise first? The last day. But our Baptist friends teach this verse here is talking about the rapture. Go ask the Baptist preacher, any Baptist preacher on earth, ask him, where do you get the idea of rapture? And they'll take you right here to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. They'll tell you it's a rapture. But it can't be no rapture. It's the resurrection of the dead. And when does Jesus say he's going to raise the dead? I'll raise him up when? At the last day. This is so simple now. You've got to go to college to get confused. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, I personally think that there are a lot of people out there confused that have been confused that the Lord loves. I don't have one verse to say that proves that you can believe wrong and be a member of the body of Christ. But of course, obviously you can, because the church at Thessalonica didn't understand the second coming of Christ and called them saints. But I'm telling you, it's really shaky ground. It's really thin ice to be believing false teaching. So what I'm trying to do is moderate this and tell you I don't believe that everybody that's confused is lost. But that's just my belief. My belief, you can take my belief in a $5 bus pass and you can ride on any bus in town if you got a day pass. You can take my belief and they won't even let you on the door of the bus. Second coming of Christ will be in power and glory and be one event. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What will happen to Christians that are alive when Christ comes? But we shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. When's that going to happen? At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Hey, it's the same day. It's the last day. The dead's being raised. All of these verses take place at the same time. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 is a wonderful verse. It says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. We are going to be changed, that 1 Corinthians 15 said, into an incorruptible, glorified body. We're going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the last trump. We're going to be changed just like that, and we're going to be given a body like Christ had. Christ could just materialize in the room with them. He said, touch me, feel me, for a spirit has not flesh and blood, as you see that I have. I don't know about it, but it's going to be wonderful. And I know that we're going to worlds unknown, that we're going to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, I've got a deal for you. Has anybody got a dollar? It don't cost a dollar. Anybody got a penny? It don't cost a penny. It don't cost nothing. It's free. It's a free gift of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. March right down to the front down here and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put on Christ in baptism. Have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now? If you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church while we stand and sing.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. www.jesustookbread.com.